All right, I think we're live. So yeah, we're going to be looking at Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. And one of the things I want to stay away from primarily, and of course we're going to be hitting on it a little bit, but some of the situations that, you know, people turn to Romans 1, 18 to 32 to discuss certain kinds of sins. A lot of times this is the verse that's brought up when we're talking about some of the things that a lot of Americans are going through now. Actually, a lot of places in the world, this has become an issue over and over again. And I don't want to shy away from the subject of homosexuality. I just don't want it to become the crux of what I'm talking about this morning, because it isn't the crux necessarily of what I'm talking about this morning. This morning I want to talk about truth, and I want to talk about God's value of what truth really is. First, I want to pray that God's truth will come out of my mouth. So let's pray. Lord, we praise you, Lord, for the truth. We live in a world full of hooey. We live in a world full of falseness. We live in a world full of lies. And the ruler of the world is the father of lies, Lord. But you have us here, a segment, a portion, who have the truth in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we live the truth. We love the truth. But Lord, sometimes we stray from the truth ourselves and we get deceived. Father, I just pray that you would bless my words today, Father, and bless your words, Lord, as they come out of my mouth, Father. I just lift up this message to you. I pray that your will would take over and leave mine behind. Thank you. In your precious, amazing name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." I don't know if we could have a serious relationship with God if we weren't truthful, if we weren't honest people. God doesn't only desire it. One of the reasons, and Jesus came to earth, and I remember I watched a documentary. I don't know if anybody has seen The Truth Project, but The Truth Project is a series of videos that are amazing. If you ever get the chance to do it, it might be good for a Bible study or whatnot. I've been through two of them, and they're a short, they're kind of a 12-week, I think, a 12-week long Bible study. And one of the first things that the speaker hits on is why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come to earth? And a lot of people raise their hands and they say, oh, you know, Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins. Nope. The guy says, nope. Everyone's like, what? Yeah, he did. Oh, no, Jesus came so that we could be one with the Father. Nope, nope, no, he didn't. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? So he said, you know, turn to John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered him, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Seems like it's a pretty big deal for God that we are truthful. I remember when I was in Sunday school learning the Ten Commandments, and one of the ones we always remembered was, "Thou shalt not lie." Right? Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. But thou shalt not lie was one of the biggies. Some of the other ones we had forgotten here and there, but we always remembered, thou shalt not lie. Because I think lying is part and parcel to who we are as people. I think it's very hard to stay from the truth. And it's one of those witnessing tools too. We can always kind of depend on the lying part. So we say, oh, you know, you say you're a good person. Yeah, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Oh, what makes you good? Well, you know, I do this, I do that. I help old ladies across the street. I listen to my wife when she tells me to take out the garbage, what have you. You know, they come up with all these good deeds that they've done. And one of the first things that a person who is kind of in this vein of witnessing will say, well, have you ever lied? Well, yeah. And they ask that because most people have lied. If they ask one of the other commandments, whoa, so have you ever murdered anybody? You know, most people in America haven't murdered anybody. Now, when you take Jesus' definition of murder, if you hate a brother, right? That's the same thing as murder. If you lust after a woman, that's the same thing as adultery. So those things you can kind of get people to admit to after a while. But lying always seems to be the one that catches everybody. Because we lie. We're liars. And here's the reason. Because lying is the backbone of every single sin that exists. Well, how is that possible? Because it is. When we lie, we become something else than what we are supposed to be. And when we become something else than what we are supposed to be, we are bearing false witness. Because God created us to have a relationship with Him. He created us to worship Him. He created us to love Him. And we can only do that if we are truly who we are supposed to be. And when we are not truly who we are supposed to be, we are bearing false witness right away. It's not just a matter of lying. It's a matter of not being truly who we are supposed to be. As a Christian, I have found myself not truly being who I am supposed to be. Who am I supposed to be now? I'm a dad. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a worker. I do certain things. I have obligations. But who am I really supposed to be? I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit. I'm supposed to be loving people. I'm supposed to be loving God above all else. I'm supposed to be connected to Him. I'm supposed to be listening to Him, praying without ceasing. And I'll tell you something, I'm not always doing those things. I'm not always doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm lying. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, verse 18, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse not to believe in God. Not one. I know that age-old question. Well, what about those people who live on an island and they never heard of Jesus? They have plenty of information all around them to lead them to a belief in something greater than themselves. And once they get that in their heads, that there is something greater than themselves, well, that might mean that there is something that can help them out of their situation. Something bigger than them means that there is something wiser, stronger, more powerful. And just ask. And I don't know who it is now. I forget. I have heard the story many times. I believe it was Elizabeth Elliot, but don't quote me on that. Or Jim Elliot. But they went to this tribe in the Amazon or some distant tribe of nobody had ever really been to before. And they were proclaiming Jesus to these people. Some missionary did this, and I wish I remembered the name. But when they got there, they started telling them about Jesus. The village people got really excited. We already believe in Him. They're like, whoa, how do you already believe in Him? We just do. We just never knew His name. Somehow, they had figured out that there was a God, and God can do mighty things. He doesn't need us to spread His word. I don't know if you know that or not. He wants us to go out and spread His word, but He doesn't need us to go out and spread His word. He can do that on His own. He has no problem at all doing that. If he wants the truth to be known in some far country where nobody has ever gone before, that truth will be known. He can put things in dreams. He can give people signs. He can lead them in his heart. And if you look around you, there is nothing else you can figure out but that something created all of this. And I marvel at those people who refuse to look. But at the same time, I have grown to a point where I understand them a little bit clearer now. They're not deceived, necessarily, that there's a God. They just don't want to admit there's a God. Because if they admit there's a God, then they have to admit that there's something that they have to do to respond to that God. That there's a personal relationship that is required with that God. And people don't want to give up who they are. Or who they think they are. Or who they think they want to be. They don't want to give up their power. Look at the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They knew he was the Messiah. There's no way not to know he was the Messiah. Wise men from the east figured it out because of a star. And these guys are looking at the Messiah in his face. Watching him heal people. Watching people come back to life from the dead. And they're telling him to his face, he's not the Messiah? You got to be kidding me. They knew he was the Messiah. The problem wasn't their unbelief. The problem was their falsehood. Their lying. They're not being truthful, not only with themselves, but of the things of God. And that's why they were talked down to so much by Christ. Christ couldn't stomach these people. He loved them, don't get me wrong, but he just couldn't stomach the lack of honesty in these godly leaders. They were supposed to be godly leaders. They were supposed to be the ones who were to lead the others to a deeper knowledge of Christ. Instead, they led everybody to themselves so that they could have the power and the preeminence. That's what they cared more about. And God was actually an assault on who they wanted to be and what they wanted. He was going to get in the way. And now we have these people who have been raised to believe in evolution. So you can't fault them necessarily when they're children. But when they grow up and they look at the world around them and they hear the news, in America, they're not going to get around too far without hearing the news that God is the creator. And right now, I remember having a conversation years ago on Facebook. There was a gentleman, a Christian scientist, who is part of the ICR, Institute for Creation Research. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But they go out and do the same thing other scientists do, but they do it with the knowledge that God created the earth. So they actually find out a lot more stuff than these other people with these faults, you know, billions and millions of years and all these things that honestly don't make sense at all. It just doesn't make sense that the earth is that old. But these guys go out. So this guy went out and he found these dinosaur Triceratops horn, and that there was still saturated cells in this horn, that they were still moist to a certain extent. They weren't completely brittle. They weren't completely dried. They were actually still retained some of their natural sustainability, some of their natural moisture. How could that be if they're millions or billions of years old, whatever the scientists are saying, and that would be impossible. So I posted the article because I was kind of excited about it myself, and some of my non-Christian friends, I have a lot of those on Facebook, some of my non-Christian friends came up and said, well, you know, this guy isn't really accredited. So he's not accredited. He's not a real scientist because he's not accredited. So I was like, okay, well, I looked into what accreditation is. Because I've heard the word accredited, I just never knew what it was. And what accredited means is that the government backs you up. That's it. And if you're a creationist, you're not going to get accredited. The only accredited scientists are those who believe in the theory of evolution. They don't look at creation. So they make us look like uneducated, kind of ignorant things, which they want us to be, because they want to seem like they're the ones who are wise, which we will be getting to here. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. They rely on chance. The whole world, and our education system in America at least, is founded on evolutionary thought. It doesn't matter what class you go into. You go into English, you go into science, you go into mathematics, you go into any of these classes, the backbone of all of them is evolution. And so we have evolutionary thought process in schools, and it's really a deadly thing because it takes away the truth of what really happened, of what God really did. R.C. Sproul was teaching a class in college, and he asked for a raise of hands. He said, I want a raise of hands for anybody here who believes that God is sovereign to the point that nothing is out of His control. Not one atom, not one particle, not one iota, not one thing in this creation, in this universe, is outside of God's control. How many of you believe that? A number of students raised their hands. It was a Christian college. So he said, okay, I want a show of hands for those who believe that there might be some things outside the control of God's hand. He goes, I'm not going to bite. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to report you to anybody. You know, I'm not going to kick you out of the church or anything. I just want to know how many of you out there believe that God is not ultimately in control of every single thing that exists. A couple students raised their hand. About a little less than half the class, but still a pretty big portion of the class. And he said, I just want to let you guys know that you're atheists. The students were like, what? We're not atheists. He said, if you don't believe that God is ultimately in control, that there is not one atom outside of the control of God, then you do not believe in the sovereignty of God. You don't believe in the ultimate sovereignty of God. If there is one atom that can get away from God, that's not the God I worship. Because the truth of God is better than the wisdom of man. When these evolutionists get to heaven, they're not going to be pointing, they're not going to be able to point their fingers at Darwin or Dawkins or any of these other characters, Carl Sagan, anybody who has come up with such a good argument against the creationism facts and replaced it with evolution. They're not going to be able to point at anybody because they are going to be ultimately responsible, because what it says here is that they are without excuse. God has given them everything on this planet that they need to know what the truth of God is. Amen. And in America, we have, as our sister here said, we have more than ample proof of who God is. You go into a dollar store, you're going to find hundreds of Bibles. They're everywhere. You ever notice that? Everywhere you go. Sometimes there's scriptures hanging up on billboards, or there's scripture verses here and there. I mean, you just find these things. You go to my house, I'm the same as her. I have at least 50 Bibles, I think, in our house. Some of them are different translations. Some of them are in the original Greek. Some of them are, but they're all there, and I have an extensive volume of them. And I know I'm not the only one. I know there's a number of other people who go. If you go in their house, you'll find a number of Bibles. And some of the people I know are one of their ministries is going out and giving some of their Bibles away to people who don't have Bibles. That is a blessing in America, but at the same time, it's a warning. Because a country that has that many Bibles must need that many Bibles. God never lets His word go out unless it's needed. And if that many Bibles are needed in this country, we might have a bigger problem than we originally thought. There are probably a lot of people who need to read those Bibles that are not reading them. There's a lot of people that need to be reminded when they go to the dollar store and they look and say, "Oh, look at all those Bibles." Maybe they need to be reminded that there's something bigger than themselves out there, that they aren't following the path that God has for them. Most of the time you hear people come to Christ, you don't hear them say, "Oh wow, I just never knew that God was out there." You don't hear that. Ask anybody their story of coming to faith. They know. They knew all along. It was just that their eyes were opened a little bit more to God's love or God's sovereignty, or somebody told them it in such a way, but they knew God existed. They may have been deceived by atheism, but here the Bible says no one is without excuse. So if you're able to be deceived completely away from God's truth, then this isn't right. What it says here isn't right. What God is saying is, there's no excuse you have. There's no deceit that is strong enough that you're not going to be judged for not knowing me, not coming to me. God's wrath is over our world right now. And what that means to me is that His righteousness is running back and forth around the earth looking for faithful people. Because when righteousness hits unrighteousness, one of them is going to give, and it's not righteousness. Righteousness isn't going to move out of the way for unrighteousness. God's righteousness, His wrath, is going to keep going. And we need to follow along. We need to get in line. We don't need God to be kinder. We don't need God to be calmer. We don't need God to be more easily accessible. We need to get in line with God. God is as easy access as He's ever going to be. The access to God is amazing, especially here in America. He's everywhere. He's all over. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. In China, you show some of those, and I know now China, Christianity is becoming legal, and I suspect that it's possible that the government might just be trying to bring out the Christians. I'm not saying that's definitely what's happening, but I will say let's pray for the government of China when we have a chance, because I think that because they're legalizing Christianity in China, which is kind of unheard of, but maybe the government got touched. Maybe somebody in the government finally realized that the Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, like He says He is. But I suspect there might be something else at stake here. And I think that maybe Christians are coming out of the woodwork a little more now, getting a little more comfortable, so the government might be able to squeeze them later. Perhaps that's the thing. I'm not saying that is. I don't know. But my suspicions are, my dander is up a little bit in that situation. And I just pray that we still lift those brothers and sisters up over in China who are coming to faith. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. We can tear down an image made like in our image. We can tear down a God who looks like us. We can tear down a God who acts like us. The Greeks and the Romans believed in these Roman and Greek gods, and these Roman and Greek gods had huge flaws in their characters, if you ever studied them. And it's amazing to me that people could believe in a group of people that childish, that they're running things, you know. But people want to believe these things. Because if they can believe, if you believe somebody immature is running the whole universe, then you can control that God a little bit more. People want a God they can control. They don't want a God that's real. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. God gave them up. God will eventually give you up. He'll take your restraints away if you choose to follow after the paths He has not set for you. He will let you go. That's one of the worst things God can do to you. is let you go the way you want to go. I praise God for the restraints He has put on me. I can look back in my past and I just thank God that He didn't let me do some of the things I wanted to do. I remember I had a dream when I was a kid. I was a teenager and I was crazy and I did a lot of stupid things. And I did things mainly for story time so I could sit around and tell stories about the things I've done. And one of the things I wanted to do that God kept me from in my ignorant teenage years was take a rowboat from California and try to make it to Hawaii. I never got the opportunity, and I praise God for it every day, because I would have, if I had a rowboat there, I would have grabbed a couple gallons of water, gone off in my rowboat. I probably wouldn't be here today preaching to you. God kept me restrained for a reason. And one of the restraints that He kept on me, interestingly enough, was in Rochester, I had so many court dates I had to go to that if I left town, I knew I'd be in jail, you know? So God kept me where I needed to be from wandering, because I wanted to wander all over the world and do all these stupid, crazy things. I wanted to climb Everest and all these other things I wasn't prepared to do. And whew, thank God for God's restraints. And I just pray that God keeps His restraints on all of us here, especially my kids here, my boys. But if we want to be free from God's restraints, eventually God will say, okay, go your way. Go do what you want to do. That's why homosexuality is rampant in America. God said, all right, do what you want to do. That's why marijuana is being legalized in America. Have your way. We need to pray more than ever the way the country is going. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. See how it says it? They're not fitting. They don't belong. We're trying to put puzzle pieces together that don't go together. We're trying to fit into a mold that we were never meant to be fitted into. Look at these guys throughout history or throughout the Bible who just seem to get it. There's some guys just get it, don't they? It just seems like they figured it out. We got David dancing before the Lord. He got it. He understood at that moment. We got Daniel praying against all, knowing that if he kept praying that he was going to be thrown in the lion's den. He kept doing it. He got it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They got thrown in the fiery furnace. They got it. They figured it out. They had that relationship with God. One of the ones that always astounds me the most is the story of Joseph. Joseph came along before the law was instituted. Well, at least most of the law. He knew about circumcision. That's about it. And there were some sacrificing things that were happening already. Abraham, of course, sacrificed his grandfather. And Jacob was sacrificed here and there. Certain things to the Lord. So sacrificing and circumcision. But for the most part, the law wasn't instituted yet. The word of God was mostly verbal. There wasn't a recorder that we know of until Moses came along. They say Moses was the recorder for all those books. But verbally, they were passed down. And somehow, Joseph got it. He had that relationship with God that brought him to that point of innocence. That where God wanted us. All the time. When Adam and Eve sinned, it took them out of that innocence and put them in a covering. Remember, God came to them. He came to them with animal skins and said, here, cover yourselves up. They weren't meant to be covered up. They weren't meant to be hidden from God or from each other. They were meant to be open. We were meant to be innocent. Not too many people I know have a problem with a baby. Except for pro choice people necessarily, but even they don't really know usually what they're doing. They convince themselves that it's not really a human life. But when a baby is born and you're looking into the eyes of a baby, not too many people are like, what are you looking at? You know, what, you got a problem? Nobody says that to a baby, because we know that what a baby is thinking is probably the most innocent thoughts that any human being will ever think. That's how God wanted us. He wanted us to be that innocent. That's how we were supposed to be. I remember when I first came to Christ, or came back to Christ, when I was my early 20s, and I had a Living Bible, which I will never recommend for anybody to read, because it's a paraphrased Bible. I wouldn't recommend a new believer necessarily to read a Living Bible, because it's translated thought for thought, not word for word, and I'm kind of a stickler about those things. But when I became saved, that's all I had. That's all I had in my library of Christian books, was a Living Bible that was falling apart, and I locked myself in my room, and I got down on the floor, and I got the pillows all around me, and I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I started the process of knowing Jesus. And so often, when I'm in the middle of my complicated Christian life, and I got my books, and I'm surrounded by my exegesis on Matthew, and my commentaries on the book of Job, and all these other books in my library, my heart often goes back to those first days of my faith, when I was just getting to know Jesus. I was just in my room with this book I wouldn't give anybody else now, just getting to know Jesus. And I prayed over everything I read, and I got to know who he was, and I fell in love with Jesus. I was where I was supposed to be. And now it's a struggle to get myself back to that point. I find it every once in a while, but it's not a common thing. And here's the thing that blows me away. God still loves me like crazy. Why? Because it's fitting. That's who he is. He's a good, good father. And I am loved by him. That's who we are. Brennan Manning says it like this: God loves us as we are, not how we ought to be. Because let's face it, none of us are as we ought to be. We're all flawed. We're all messed up. We've all gone down dark roads. We've all gone down the wrong road. But God is still God. He's still the truth. He's still the light. And whether or not we choose a lifestyle that fits with who we are supposed to be, he continues to love us and call for us to come back to that fitting lifestyle. That lifestyle where we have nothing else to look for but Jesus' face. We have nothing else we want to do but kiss the Son. We have nothing else we want to be but his beloved children. That's it. That's the place he wants us to find. That's the place where we belong. Glory to God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters of God, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And he loves us anyway. He loves us. This is us. This is me, at least. I can look at this list and I can say, oh yeah, I did that. There I am. Oh yeah, that's me. And God still loves me. That's the truth of God. John 4:23 and 24, when he's talking to the woman at the well, Jesus has this to say, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. You know, sin makes liars out of us all. We were created to fellowship with God in the raw, unbound experience of humanity. That's who we were created to be. That's who He wants us to be. And we've fallen away here and there. And we've come back a little bit. Maybe not all the way. Maybe there's some things we still have to come back from. Maybe there's some things we still have to give over to God. Maybe there's some truth we still have to live. Maybe there's some things God's called us to that we aren't fulfilling. I can only speak for myself in these things. Psalm 51:6 says, "You desire truth in the inward parts," David says. You desire truth in the inward parts. I think it's time for us again to get real with God, to come back to Him. The believers first started believing in the church, started in Acts, and the tongues of fire came down. See, the tongues of fire didn't come down until the believers were of one accord. They were up in that upper chamber. They were getting to know each other, maybe for the first time really ever. They were telling them each other things about themselves that were true, that were real. They may not have been flattering, because none of us really inside, the deepest, darkest parts of us, are not flattering to ourselves. There's things inside of me I don't want you guys to know. There's things inside of me I wish were different. There's things inside of me I can't believe God loves me anyway, but they're inside of me. And there's something powerful that happens when we get together and we confess ourselves to each other and we get real and we come to God on our faces where we belong, crying out to Him, because that's who He is. He's a holy God, and we are unholy people who have only been made righteous, only been made acceptable because of His blood. Getting real with God. Take some time this week. I beg you, I pray that you will spend as much time in prayer as you can get. Get away from the world. Find a place that's yours. Find a place that nobody else can find you. Last night I was in my car and behind a church that I never went to in my life. And I was behind there. I was preparing for this. And I was getting down with God. And a policeman taps on my window saying, "What are you doing in here?" I was getting real with God. I was coming to God. God wants us to get real with Him and come to Him. Let's pray. Lord, teach us how to be yours. Teach us how to be truthful. Teach us how to be right, Father God. Because it's so easy to be wrong. It's so easy to be on the wrong path, Father God. Sometimes we don't even know we're on the wrong path. Sometimes we look around us and our mask was so convincing that we even fooled ourselves. But you teach us how to take those masks off each time. You call us to take them off and come to you. You call us just to get real, to get raw, to get honest, to get innocent with you, Father God. We praise you for that, Lord. And we pray that you would open our ears. For those who have ears to hear, let them hear. For those who have a heart for God, for those who have, give to God everything you have. Lord, we pray that you would teach us how to come to you, how to really, really come to you, and how to come to each other, and how to be real. Praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.